It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
Yay! Take three.
Third time's the charm, baby.
Third time's the charm. Oh, man. What a day. What a day. As you may have discerned, perhaps seen on the World Wide Webs, if it's operational, is Facebook back?
It looks like it is. Mine's working.
Okay. You know, it was out for a while. Elon Musk was tweeting out mean tweet. We got mean tweets from Elon Musk over Twitter and Insta not working. So
yeah, he kind of likes to do that. He's kind of like that was Trump funny, on though. Twitter, though. He's kind of
it was
no
funny.
Filter.
Yeah, no, it was funny. It was funny. Well, if you have that much money, I'd have no. I have no money and I have no filter. So more than I used to, but I would like to go back to never having a filter. I would love that actually. My life would be so much more fulfilling for me if I didn't have the filter.
He turned 30, ladies and gentlemen, and he got wise. Now, here he is at 31. He's had a filter for a year, and hopefully I can bring him back to the dark side.
So, in case you didn't know, the Pirate baseball game is not going to be played today or tonight because of unplayable field conditions. So, we went from... The game was moved back because, as Cliff Godwin said last night, there was rain. It fell unexpectedly. They didn't have the field covered, and it's the dirt, really, that's the issue. It still didn't look dry. Scooter sent me a picture about an hour ago, and it still didn't. And the sun, even though it has been out for a good part of the afternoon, for much of the day, the sun was not out, and there was no wind. So that's not ideal drying conditions for a field, if we're being honest, right?
Yeah, and it's been about 80% humidity. I don't think there's been any chance for it to evaporate.
Right, exactly. So because of that. Now, tomorrow, and I can read a forecast sheet like any of you can, there is rain, although they have moved it up, I think. They've moved it up from the beginning of the day, and it's going to maybe taper off in the evening, but there's still a chance, but it's going to be less of a chance. But, you know, I guess VCU, because they're on spring break, are going to stay another night. I know they're looking at some local talent. Their coaches are. They're getting out around Eastern North Carolina and doing some cruton. And so they're going to head out and look at some local talent and I guess stay here one more night and make a decision tomorrow whether they'll play. If they do, I don't think it would be at 4 o'clock. I think it would be closer to maybe tonight's game time. The second game time. So, we'll see. ECU softball has moved their two games tomorrow with nationally ranked Duke off of that date, and they will be played on Tuesday, April 9th, I believe at 5 o'clock. I could be wrong on the time, but I know it will be played on the night, and I assume it would be a doubleheader like this one is scheduled to be, or was scheduled to be. So, that is that. And the comedy of errors today has... kind of gone on and on and on. So what do we have for you? Adam Gold's going to join us. You hear Gold every day from 1 until 3 here on 94.3 The Game. Of course, we got Igo on the noon spot, and you get 2 hours of Gold from the North Carolina Sports Network. After that, we're going to talk some ACC Tobacco Road hoops with him later in the hour. I might work in a hockey question or two. We'll see how it goes. Pilk, because of... the roller coaster ride that is my life and my schedule the last several days, I am sort of sitting here wondering what the news of the day is. And I guess the big news of the day is the fallout of Russell Wilson going to be released by Igo's Denver Broncos. In fact, we should get Igo on and have him comment on this. But the thing that floors me is the dead money. And, Pilk, you're a sports nerd. And I say that in the most endearing of terms. You're a sports nerd. Explain the dead money against the cap. What does that mean, Pilk?
So, obviously, they will have to pay out money to Russell Wilson.
It counts against the cap, right?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure how much exactly they have to pay him, but $85 million of whatever they're paying him will be in dead cap, which means it will take from their new $255 million. Good news for the Broncos, the cap went up $30 million this year. I guess that's not salt on an open wound, but it's maybe dirty water on an open wound. It's helping it a little smidgy bit. So
Take solace in that, right?
Yeah.
Take solace in that.
So they will pretty much have $170 million to spend this year on their 53-man roster, as $85 million of their $255 million will be going to Russell Wilson.
So we'll talk to Adam Gold about that. Obviously, Russell Wilson's best known around these parts for throwing an interception to Damon Magazoo for the Pirates to clinch a 33-30 win under Scotty Moe, of all people, as the head coach. Remember that? I believe Scotty Moe was coaching then, wasn't he?
No.
Wasn't he?
No, Scotty wasn't.
That was rough. That was rough, yeah. East Carolina did beat. I'm totally tired. I've been up since 3:30. I'm totally wiped. Scotty Moe did beat State to actually go 2-0. And then after that, he won a grand total of 7 more games. Remember that, Pilk?
Yeah, that would have been my senior year of high school.
So that was Rush. Ruff, who was the coach at the time. God. It is Super Tuesday, and the polling places in North Carolina will be open for another 2.5 hours. If you have not voted, I encourage you to do so, because it is the primary, it is a major election year, and it is your civic duty, for crying out loud. So hope people will get out and cast a ballot today, if they have not already. Still plenty of time to get there, and the weather is, at least for getting out and voting, pretty nice. Pilk, anything else that's happened today? I know you've been keeping an eye on it there since you've been sitting around the station now for 18 hours.
Yeah, so kind of the other big news today is that, the other big news today is 8 franchise tags were handed out to NFL players. Today was the deadline at 4 p.m. Saquon Barkley was not included. Now, including Brian Burns, that is something to note, but not including Saquon Barkley. His time as a New York Giant could be coming to an end.
No, I think it's over.
I think it is. They could resign him, but yeah. I think he's going to get way less money than he wants.
I think that's a done deal, isn't it? That's a done deal.
Yeah.
So Brian Burns, Pilk, you're a fan of Carolina Panthers. Burns, I guess, will still be playing. He'll make plenty of money. He just won't have the long-term deal. But this isn't an acrimonious situation, even with the franchise tag, is it?
Nah, I mean, he's going to make just over $24 million this year. I would like to see the team commit to him. You know, you can only pay so many guys on the team big bucks. Obviously, they're paying Taylor Moten, right tackle, a lot of money. And that's part of the reason, I think, for this decision. But at the end of the day, good pass rushers are hard to come by. Is he Khalil Mack? Probably not. But is he top 5 in the league? Absolutely. And if you can have a wreak havoc guy on defense, look, the defense has been the bread and butter of this team for the last couple of years. Yeah, I mean, you don't have much bread and butter when you're 2-15, but you still had the 8th-ranked defense in the league last year with some bad corner play. Well, the reason why they were still ranked 8th is because Brian Burns was getting back there and forcing quarterbacks to throw off their back foot. This is a guy I'd like to see get paid. We'll see what happens, though, with the franchise tag. You can tag a guy, I think, 2 years in a row. Hopefully that doesn't happen, because it happened to Kirk Cousins in Washington. So we'll see what happens.
But he made a lot of money.
He did.
Kirk Cousins got paid, y'all.
And he, if the Broncos didn't have $85 million in dead cap, he may be getting paid by the Broncos here in a couple of days, but they don't have the money to afford.
Yeah, what is Denver going to do in your mind here? I mean, what do you do in that situation?
They're going to have to draft somebody. I've heard J.J. McCarthy, which I don't like with the 10th or 12th pick or whatever they've got. I would rather go with maybe one of the Pac-12 guys, like a Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix. They've got to bring in. Yeah, they've got to bring in some sort of veteran guy, though. And when I say veteran guy, I don't mean a guy who's just been a career backup. I mean a guy who started.
Somebody who is a lot like Russell Wilson is going to be. Exactly. Has been a starter in the league and might very well find themselves being a mentor or a backup. I still think Russell Wilson's going to wind up somewhere.
Oh, for sure.
Because you can get him at a small but I think somebody's going to sign him who thinks he will be a young team that feels like they need to make a step or two, may sign him. I'm not saying will, may sign him. And that makes sense because they feel like, okay, if we look at Peyton Manning, Brady was a little better in Tampa than Manning was in Denver. But I mean, kind of look at Manning was just brought in to be a game manager and be a veteran presence and championship presence. You know, they relied on the defense, and that's how they won the Super Bowl in Denver. This would be, you know, something of to the effect of he would be a guy that could come in and be sort of the mentor guy and run your offense if it's real heavily predicated on the run and you have a really lights-out defense and you feel like you're a step or two, a season or two away from a Super Bowl. I don't know who that would be right off the top of my head, Pilk, but because I don't know what quarterbacking situation needs to be remedied that fits that description, but that to me would seem like the ideal scenario.
You know who – I don't know if this team's quite good enough yet, but their defense is coming together – and their two best tenures as a franchise are old washed-up quarterbacks, the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Kurt Warner, old washed-up quarterback, goes to the Super Bowl.
That is great.
Carson Palmer, old washed-up quarterback, almost goes to the Super Bowl until he ran into you-know-who, the Panthers, baby. So, yeah, you know.
That's a good point. That is a great point there. That would be actually a pretty good fit, I think, for old Russ. Keeps him out west.
Seahawks fans would crap a brick, him going to a divisional rival.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's over and done with, right?
It is.
And yeah, I mean, and that would be appealing to him to go somewhere and maybe try to beat Seattle twice a year. That's a great, see, Pilk, I knew you were around for some reason today. I've now figured out what it is.
Hey, you know, I try and make my worth found.
I know. All right. I'm punchy today, Pilk, in case you haven't been able to figure out. All right, it is the Patrick Johnson Show. We are up and running here. No Pirate baseball today. The field conditions are not playable for ECU. The reevaluation of the surface will be done tomorrow morning, and they'll make a decision on tomorrow's game, which still is slated for 4, could be pushed back. We'll see. But we'll have word on that in the morning. But unplayable field conditions costing ECU baseball a game at home tonight against VCU, and they're saying it will be made up. All right, timeout, come back. We'll do a Pirate report with Cliff Godwin and some of the Pirate pitchers.
I want to take a minute here.
And now, Patrick Johnson with today's Pirate Report on the flagship station of the ECU Pirates, 94.3 The Game.
All right, welcome in. As we have no Pirate baseball for you tonight, the game is not going to be played due to unplayable field conditions following weather in Greenville over the last 24-plus hours. All right, from inside Pirate Athletics, we go to Cliff Godwin, and we start with him talking about the fantastic season that Carter Cunningham is having so far, the senior playing over at first. He also is the top average guy for the Pirates at .489, leads East Carolina in home runs, and is tied for the club lead in RBI.
He believes in himself, but also his faith is just off the charts, and he just plays free. And the best compliment I can give him is it's like he's playing wiffle ball in the backyard. And, of course, at a highly competitive place like East Carolina. And he's one of the best leaders we've ever had here. He's had to develop into that. But he goes about his business the right way all the time. But he's more worried about the other guys and helping them than he is actually with himself. And I tell people all the time, when you actually start living that, you actually free yourself up and you don't play under pressure because you're just worried about the team.
Cliff Godwin on a much improved Jacob Jenkins Cowart to start 2024.
It goes back to, you know, he mentioned in media day, you know, last year, probably read into the headlines a little too much, took his foot off the gas pedal, and he's been all in since he came back for his junior season, but really been consumed with making sure the guys are ready to play. Of course, he's back to more of his mechanical stance than he was his freshman year, but he's worked his tail off to be stronger, to be more healthy. I mean, he's carrying more weight than he did his freshman year, and he's running just as good, if not better, and he is not nicked up like he was at times his freshman year.
All right, more from Coach Godwin, and he talks about Trey Yesavage, who's coming off a tremendous start.
Trey's been stellar. You know, the guy is the epitome of what you want in a Friday night starter. Of course, he's super talented, but his work ethic, his competitiveness, he wants to be the best. I mean, some of the things that he does on a daily basis that go on behind the scenes that I don't even see. I just know that, you know, his goal is to be one of the best pitchers in the country to help our team win, but also in his career. I mean, he wants to pitch professionally, but he doesn't just talk about it. He actually works on it every day, and he's just been awesome, an awesome leader on our pitching staff.
And then Dixon Williams, the D.H. Conley product, who hit his first home run over the weekend during the LeClaire Classic. Cliff Godwin talking about him.
He's been doing great, and, you know, a lot has been made of it by the media that, you know, they look at batting average, and the guy last Sunday against Carolina hit three balls as hard as he could ever hit the ball. They're just right at people, and I said this to him today, you know, in basketball, if you shoot the ball and it feels good coming off your hand, it goes in the basket. But you don't get to direct the baseball and say, hey, I want the baseball to go in between those defenders. And the defenders can move and go into shifts and everything else. I said, Carolina walked you not to put the double play in order because they did not want to pitch to you.
Yeah.
They're not going to double up Bristol Carter. So they knew that, but they just wanted to go after the freshman and not go after the guy that has smoked the baseball all over the yard for his first three at-bats. And Dixon is a Greenville a guy, and he probably feels the pressure as much as anybody just because he wants to play for his hometown university and do a good job. And he's just got to go out there and play his game and not worry about what other people say.
And this is Coach Godwin talking about the first start for Colby Wallace, who had three hits and a game-tying RBI.
Man, he had a great night on Saturday night. You know, of course, in the box score, he got three hits. But he has worked his tail off with Coach Lartigue and Coach Packer to continue to work on his swing. But he's a throwback guy. Like, he just competes, man, and he doesn't overthink the situation. The situation's never too big for him, even though he's a freshman. And he doesn't look like a freshman physically. I mean, you guys see him.
Yeah.
I mean, I mentioned, I think, to Coach Dietz, like, hey, man, that guy's a good player. He's going to be really good for us this year, but also down the road. And he goes, what is he, like a junior? And I'm like, nah, he's a freshman, true freshman. So that just tells you the body he has. But he's a great player, and, you know, he's going to do big things for us.
And he talked about, Coach Godwin, the former players that were there at the event this weekend.
Yeah, we were all out there on the field, which I didn't even know they were all there. But after the game, the Fullerton game, there was Saylor, Cooch, Ryder, Cam Colmore, Matt Bridges, Ben Newton, Landon Ginn, all were right there. And, I mean, it was so cool. And Ben doesn't come back a whole lot, man. But, you know, when I was in the hospital, when I had my infection in my knee, he lives in Raleigh. So I was in the hospital in Cary, and he actually came up and saw me. And we actually ate dinner together in the hospital bed, so that was cool, and I just appreciated that a whole lot.
And Coach Godwin on the outing from Wyatt Shunford-Linksman. Wyatt from the weekend.
Well, we built him up in the preseason as a starter, and I appreciate, Coach Knight appreciates his selflessness to, you know, be fine with going into the bullpen, but we know that when we get in situations like we were on Saturday that he can – go lengthy. You know, I think he went four innings. I'm not sure how many pitches he threw, but we built him up to four or five innings in the preseason, you know, up to like 70 pitches. So that wasn't something he's not used to.
And he talked about the freshman Jackson DiLorenzo.
Going back to last Sunday,
yeah,
you know, against North Carolina when he came in the game. And of course, it's a tense situation. I mean, you're out there and we have a one run lead, and I think Costello had walked the lead off. He punches out the first guy. And then I think maybe walks a guy, and then the next guy grounds out to first base, and you feel like he's about to get out of it, and then he just yanks one fastball that gets by McChrystal, and the game's tied, and then he gets out of it. So the more we can keep putting him out there in experiences like that, he's going to continue to gain confidence. He's, of course, talented. I want him to continue to believe in himself a little bit more, which he is, but you know, the game challenges you at times, especially as a freshman. It's not easy to go out there and navigate North Carolina's lineup when you're in front of 6,000 people.
Sure.
The more we can get him out there, the better he's going to be.
All right, and this is Trey Savage, who talked about his performance at four-pitch seventh inning, and he told pitching coach Austin Knight he was going out for the eighth.
Yeah, in the seventh inning, I only threw four pitches. I figured that was my last inning when I was going out there. But having four pitches, I came in the dugout and told AK I'm going back out there before he could even get a word out to me.
And Trey, on developing into the role of a starter for the Pirates.
It's been a lot. It's a lot of mental growth, becoming a starter rather than a reliever. That would only go out there for two outs at a time. But that's something me and Coach Knight worked on really hard over the off seasons, and he really shaped me into the pitcher I am today.
And more from Pirate Pitchers. Let's go. If Yesavage is one, 1A is Zach Root, and he talks about Fullerton giving him some real tough at-bats.
AK, it was the second or third inning, the first time I went through the lineup, he told me that, I mean, they were juiced up, ready to go. They came here to win this game, and that's why they were having tough at-bats against me so far. I wasn't getting a lot of strikeouts, but he said just to keep filling it up, and the bats will get less and less tough, and I'll get more strikeouts as the game goes on.
And let's see, what else do we have here? Zach Root told this great story in the preseason about his dad teaching him to pitch and wouldn't let him throw a ball until his muscle memory was there from duplicating the windup repeatedly and repeatedly. So he told us that story last night on Inside Pirate Athletics.
Yeah, it started when I was in Little League. I was on a team, and we really didn't have any pitchers who could throw strikes. So one day he told me, like, we're going to start pitching. And he came up with a big leg kick just to help with deception so the hitters couldn't see the ball. And he made me just go through my steps, the windup, for about a month before he even let me pick up a ball to start throwing it, just so I had the windup down to muscle memory, because it could get all out of whack with the big leg kick and a lot of moving parts. So he made me keep doing that every day until I had it muscle, like, down to muscle memory, and then we started actually pitching.
And let's see here. Wyatt talked about throwing four innings in relief on Saturday.
I wasn't super sure, but I kind of got that feeling when we got into extra innings a little bit, like, this is going to be my game. But I know we got a lot of guys down there that could help me out if I needed.
Wyatt Lunsford-Schinkman also talked about his maturation process in a Pirate uniform.
Definitely a big change was I came in as a freshman throwing a four-seam and throwing a curveball, and broke it down with AK and was like, hey, what if we tried to two-seam? What if we tried to throw a slider? So we made that change my freshman fall and just kind of stuck with it and made me better. Mentally, for sure, just being able to mature and grow up a little bit, especially after freshman year. Definitely immature at times, but being able to take more of a leadership role last year and this year has been huge for my mental state.
All right, that'll do it for today's Pirate Report. We're going to have Adam Gold join us from the Adam Gold Show, which you hear 1 until 3 on 94.3 The Game every weekday. Right now, here is Philip the Ref Pilkington with a Pirate Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report here on the PJ Show.
Thanks, P-Man. Starting in Pirate Athletics, the women's basketball season, regular season, will come to an end tonight as they are down at Charlotte at 6:30 on ESPN+ before they head out to Texas for their conference tournament. The Panthers were hoping that Dan Morgan could find some shiny new weapons for quarterback Bryce Young this year. However, that will not be five-time Pro Bowler Mike Evans. He will enter his 11th season with the team that drafted him as he signed a two-year deal worth $52 million with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Panthers have franchise tag Brian Burns. He will earn just north of $24 million this season. Seven other franchise tags happen today. Chiefs cornerback Lajarius Sneed, Pats safety Kyle Duggar, Bucks safety Antoine Winfield Jr., Bears corner Jalen Johnson, Jags linebacker Josh Allen, Ravens defensive tackle Justin Madubuike, and Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins. The Denver Broncos have informed Russell Wilson they will release him on March 13th when the new season begins. They will have $85 million in dead cap, largest ever in NFL history. That'll do it for your 94.3 The Game Sports Flash Update and Pirate Report. More with Adam Gold on College Hoops on the other side. This time out.
Sometimes you just don't know if you want to kiss him or slap him.
Ow!
Either way, he'd probably like it. The Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Well, despite a season high 27, from DJ Burns, NC State, losing to Duke last night at the PNC Arena, 79-64, here to talk about that. Talk a little basketball, some hockey. Here is Adam Gold of the Adam Gold Show. It's been way too long since we've had AG on. Nice to talk to you, Adam. Thank you for helping us out here in a spot today.
No, all good. Excited to do it.
So, was that it for Kevin Keats? Will we not see him coach at PNC Arena anymore as the Wolfpack coach in the regular season?
I think he's going to get another year. I do.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm not sure. I can't base that on anything.
Right.
I mean, two NCAA tournament appearances in 7 years, and yeah, I think they got hosed once, and they probably would have been an NCAA tournament team. I think maybe during the pandemic. I can't remember last year, let alone 3 years ago. But I think ultimately that if you don't go to the tournament next year, two out of eight, you can't. But
right.
It just feels different to me. I will say that there is clearly a level of apathy about the basketball program that is, disheartening. If it's not Duke, Carolina, they're not drawing. They honored, and I'll use air quotes there, the 74 championship team against Boston College, the home game.
Right.
And the building was half empty. I mean, you can't trot out your arguably the best team you've ever had in front of a half empty building. I mean, you can't do that. That was probably poor planning. They should have done that. For an emotional pop, maybe against Carolina or Duke. But that's not what they did. Unfortunate scheduling there, but, there's a level of, they're resigned, I think, to where they are. But look, I think there are moments where they really play well. Great first half at Carolina. They played 30 really good minutes against Duke. And ultimately, they just don't have enough. They kind of wasted the best game I've seen DJ Burns play. I mean, he was.
Yeah,
you heard Jared McCain
fabulous.
After the game. Yeah, Jared McCain after the game said the guy's an elite scorer. we couldn't do anything with it. So, but Duke's good. Duke's really good. Duke has the ability, maybe even to get to a Final Four.
I'm going to ask you about the Blue Devils here in just a moment. Adam Gold from the Adam Gold Show, heard here on 94.3 The Game, is with us here on the PJ Show today. AG, let me ask you a little bit about the theory that, there's apathy because nobody can win at NC State. It doesn't matter who the coach is. So two parts here. Does Keats have it in him to recapture the imagination of the fan base and start to maybe turn it around, because he's been given a lot of time? And if there is a move, be it this year or next year, is there someone out there that can come in and take that job and make it, you know, a kind of a contender in the ACC job again?
Well, I've never understood anybody that said that you can't win at NC State. I can't process that. Why? What's the basis for that? Because it hasn't happened in a while? Is that the basis? I mean, I don't even understand. Yeah, you can win at NC State. You can contend for championships at NC State. I will say that because it's been a while, it's not as easy.
Right.
I mean, it's hard. Look, UCLA went a long time without, it's a generation between, you know, being a legit player. They did have the brief blip with Ben Howland and Kevin Love and Russell Westbrook when they were there at that time. But for the most part, they went from mid-90s under Jim Herrick until this recent, and even that wasn't long lasting with Nick Cronin. It's not as easy to kind of rekindle fires, but you can win. There's nothing that is preventing them from winning. They've made some poor coaching decisions, I guess. And maybe it's a hard, maybe Carolina and Duke scare people away. But frankly, if you're scared away because your neighbors are big and bad, then you're not cut out for the gig anyway. You just need to be a fighter. I don't know that Kevin Keats can't do it. I just know that the roster, they've had no roster continuity.
Yeah, that's a big issue.
You can't have roster continuity. I just don't know how you win consistently.
Well, and I think you're in a day and age now where if there's ever a time to reverse something quickly, it's the modern day with the portal. And, you know, I'm not 100% sure of their basketball NIL situation, but I'm sure one could exist if it needed to, if it doesn't already. So, yeah, I mean, to me, you can – nothing's easy, but it is as possible as it ever has been for a quick turnaround in a situation in basketball, especially. Duke.
Yeah, but you know what would help
here's
what would help the portal. Mm-hmm. And we have a great example in Chapel Hill. So they brought three guys out of the portal, right? Cormac Ryan, Harrison Ingram, and Jalen Withers. Yeah, three good additions out of the portal. But they added them to two veteran players who have been around forever. Another kid coming out of his freshman year who's a good roster player in Seth Trimble. So there is some continuity there to go more than that. I mean, there's Jalen Washington too. So there was enough holdover, and now you're just enhancing what you have. It almost seems like State has been rebuilding every year. Mm-hmm. And I would say it's the same problem for Wake. Wake's got some great players out of the portal, but it hasn't necessarily translated to NCAA tournament. I think Wake is an NCAA tournament team, but they've given the committee every reason to not take them.
We're talking to Adam Gold. Yeah, we're talking to Adam Gold here, and let's get to Duke. They'll play host North Carolina on Saturday. So more on that game itself. But right now, do you feel like the Blue Devils, I don't want to say very quietly, but in some ways kind of quietly, they have put together really the type of season that everybody maybe thought they were going to have? When you look at the record and how they're playing right now, it's just a great example of what happens in November has no bearing on what's going on in March.
Weird team. I think they have the potential to be very good. I think they could get to a Final Four. They don't have the defense. They're not playing the type of defense I think that they thought they would play at the beginning of the year. I think they believed that they would be able to get out, pressure, turn teams over, and run. And I think what's happened is that they're playing more stay, but try to stay between you and the basket. They're trying to make you, trying to run you off the 3-point line if they can, make it difficult for you to knock down threes. But they don't have shot blockers. So it's not like they're trying to, you know, they're enticing you to drive into Derek Lively because he's not there. But they're playing pretty solid defense. They're a pretty good rebounding team. I don't think they're, you know, elite rebounding, but they're certainly good enough. But it's a better offensive team than probably anybody else in the league. They've got more guys who can shoot and drive, and they don't rely, mm-hmm. they don't have to rely on three-pointers. As a matter of fact, the last two games, even though they've made some threes, the win over State and the win over Virginia, they were not great shooting games. Those were, they drove the ball really well. They got to the offensive glass. They are, they can certainly shoot the eyes out of the basket. You can get Jeremy Roach, who's nearly a 50% three-point shooter, although it's probably diminished somewhat after a poor shooting night last night. Jared McCain, Tyrese Proctor, Filipowski is a capable three-point shooter. They've got guys who can knock down three, and they can certainly beat you there. But they can beat you in a lot of different ways, and I like the fact that every one of their guards on the perimeter, plus Mark Mitchell and Kyle Filipowski, they can all put the ball on the floor and create. Filipowski is about as good a passer as we've seen from the pivot in the ACC in a few years. And when they share the ball well, their offense works, even if they're not shooting the ball well.
So, yeah.
Good offense.
We got Adam Gold with this here. So tonight, North Carolina hosts Notre Dame. If they win, they at least guarantee themselves a share of the ACC title, which I think would be the 12th time they would share if that played out. They've got two stars. And you talked about the pieces they brought in have been very complimentary. Do you see them getting the season sweep of Duke? I obviously have to get through tonight, or does that game take on such a different – I think it was Carlton Tudor, God rest his soul, who said this second – it's the first one that gets all the attention, but it's the second game that's really the indication of where these teams are in the year.
Well, I've always thought that the two games took on – very different tones regardless. The first one is an event. It used to be the first one would be in the middle of the week, right? It used to be like Wednesday night where they would play. And now because television, they have managed to put both of them on Saturdays and that's fine. But the first one still is more of an event than anything else. And for those people who tune into college basketball, once the NFL is over, it basically signifies the start of the college basketball season, much like the Masters for a lot of people signifies the unofficial start of the golf season. Mm-hmm. But I've always looked at the first one as an event, and the second one decides something. There's almost always stakes in terms of win this, get this. Win this game, get this. Get a number one seed in the ACC tournament. Maybe you're playing for a number one seed at the NCAA tournament level. Maybe you're trying to play for a conference championship, whatever it is. There's almost always stakes. So it does change the meaning. I think Carolina is the better team of the two. I think Carolina's defense can be elite, and I think their offense is good. I don't think Duke's defense can be elite. I think Duke's offense can be, but I think Carolina's median offense is better than Duke's median defense, and I think Carolina will go further in the NCAA tournament, but I think Duke will win the game Saturday night.
Okay. Adam Gold is with us here. They have announced that the ACC tournament, is essentially going Greensboro, Charlotte. Is that the right decision? I mean, keep it out of Brooklyn, D.C., I guess, but if we're being realistic, it needs, despite now being coast to coast, it needs to be in Tobacco Road.
Well, there are two answers to that question. Charlotte is definitely correct. Charlotte is equipped for the ACC tournament. And if I were the league, I would have gone. I would have gone 2 years to Charlotte, 2 years back to Washington, 2 years to Charlotte, 2 years back to Washington. I would only use Greensboro for anniversary dates, the 75th, which is coming up in what, 29, right. I think it is. The only time I would use Greensboro are for circle on the calendar, the 75th ACC tournament. That I would maybe the 80th, whatever it is. I would not be splitting this between Charlotte and Greensboro. No offense to Greensboro, but it's not an event city. The league doesn't belong to us here in North Carolina. We have, what do we have, 48 teams now? We're in almost every time zone. We have to stop pretending and wishing that this league just belonged to us. So Charlotte is enough. Charlotte is a city that you can entertain clients in for big business. There's more to do than there is in Greensboro. Greensboro would be great for me. I can drive there. I don't have to stay in a hotel. I can live in my house. I can get there in an hour. I can get to the Coliseum in an hour. It's more convenient for me. But Charlotte's the better place for it. Washington, D.C. is the best place for it in terms of where the arena is in downtown D.C., right near the National Mall, by the monuments and all of that, everywhere it is. It's like a big outdoor shopping mall. It's a great area of D.C. And then I thought we would probably see the tournament go every once in a while, every six or so years. We're going to go. But, I mean, who knows how long the ACC is going to be in business, so none of this may matter. But I thought we'd go to Atlanta once or Boston once or, Dallas once or Vegas since we have two teams in Northern California. Why wouldn't we do something like that? I don't think that we think big enough as a league. That's just me.
All right, Adam Gold with us. I'm going to get you out of here on this little hockey question for you, Goldie, and that is we got a trade deadline coming up Friday. Canes are back on the ice Thursday, second in the Metropolitan, and they're trying to figure out their situation in goal. Have I kind of surmised where we are in the Canes season at this point?
I think they have. I think they figured out their situation in goal.
Okay.
I think Pyotr Kochetkov is the guy. Frederik Andersen is the insurance policy. And Spencer Martin gives them organizational depth. And I spoke to Don Waddell about this yesterday. I think he's certainly listening to offers, probably for Antti Raanta. Maybe he's listening for offers on Frederik Andersen. I don't know. But because he did say, somebody is interested in one of our goalies, but I don't think they're trading Pyotr Kochetkov. I think that guy has all the earmarks of a future number one goalie. He just has to kind of rein himself in a little bit. I thought he got rattled when he gave up the first goal in the third period to Winnipeg on Saturday and didn't recover from it. But, I mean, if you look at what he's been since the middle of December, he's been absolutely spectacular. And I believe they think he is their future number one, and he's got a great contract for three more years. And I think Carolina could end up next year being pretty cheap in goal, which would allow you to be better. It's like having a quarterback and a rookie deal.
Some
of the best teams are paying goalies like $8, $9, $10 million a year. Carolina might be paying their number one goalie $2 million a year. I mean, you can't – that's found money. That's an extra player.
Yeah, absolutely. I lied. I'm going to get you out on this. Russell Wilson, is he washed? Is he washed?
He could be. I mean, giving him the benefit of the doubt. He wasn't great his last year in Seattle, which is why they were looking to trade him.
Sure.
And he hasn't been great for the 2 years in Denver. But, of course, he was poorly coached the first year in Denver. And, frankly, I ain't sure that Sean Payton is the great environment for somebody to resurrect anything. I think Sean Payton wears his rear end on his shoulders. And I don't know. I'm not a Sean Payton fan. I've never been a Sean Payton fan. I recognize he's a great coach. But, I mean, I did not – I thought he treated Russell Wilson – I'm not a Russell Wilson fan, by the way. But I thought he treated Russell Wilson like dirt. And I think you get what you give. And I think Wilson, in the right situation, can probably help a team. But I don't think he is any longer an elite quarterback in the league.
Right.
But I think he can help you. And maybe, you know, maybe the chip on his shoulder is big enough where he has something to prove. He's going to be on the cheapest possible deal. I mean, he's got, I don't know, how many millions of dollars guaranteed. The Broncos are still going to have to pay him. So I think he's going to make like 40-some-odd million dollars this year from Denver to play for somebody else. So you're going to get him on a minimum deal. I think he's worth taking a flyer on, and you might even see him as a backup in some situation. That would be really cool. How about Washington trading Sam Howell and having Russell Wilson back up Caleb Williams?
Hmm. It's interesting.
He's a Richmond kid, too.
Yeah. Well. All right. Hey, Adam, thank you. We'll talk to you again real soon. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Adam Gold, thanks for being on the Patrick Johnson Show today. All right, we'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
And now,
the stunning conclusion of the show. It's the P-Man here on 94.3 The Game.
Folks, so you'll have to let me know what's going on. All right, back in the morning on Talk of the Town. Hosting this week, the Big Hen is in Washington, D.C. Can't wait for that. And we may or may not have baseball tomorrow. We'll know tomorrow morning. Check our socials, but no ECU baseball tonight. The field is not in a playable condition. So that is what is the word tonight. Pirates will have VCU Rams stay in town tonight. They'll gather tomorrow and discuss this, and we'll see if it happens tomorrow or not. We will play it out and see. All right, polls are open for a little more than an hour and a half, and if you are registered to do so, have that photo ID, go to the polls and vote. It's your civic duty. It's your duty as an American. You should do it. All right, have a great rest of your evening. Thanks to Philip the Ref Pilkington for hanging in there today. Great job this morning, Pilk, by the way, too. And also big thanks to Adam Gold for being with us. We may or may not have a show tomorrow. It just sort of depends on how baseball plays out. So have a great evening, everybody.